Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about... Off podcasting again. I'm off to Sydney Airport, driving from Glenbrook to pick up my wife. I've got red roses. I thought I'll tell you quickly the story of the red roses, and then I'll get on to the topic of quantum mechanics. So back in 1991, we did a special detour. That's my phone saying I'm leaving my place. It can't get hooked onto my Wi-Fi anymore, so ba-bang. But back in 91, the last May Day ever for communism, so it was on its last, absolute last legs. We're in Moscow for the May Day parade, the 1st of May. That seemed a place to go. Now, I was... how would you describe it? Women's wants, they're either incredibly supportive or not. It's the case maybe, depending on what it is. And I think Fiona was basically sceptical of capitalism, not necessarily pro-communism, but sceptical of capitalism. And communism was sort of in turmoil all over the world, so it was a sort of an interesting place to go. And so I was there in Moscow, and there was sort of the occasionally people went to romantic places to ask people to marry them. And my place was Moscow in the Kremlin, on a niche in the Kremlin, and I asked her to marry me, and I, sort of being a probability guy and sort of defensiveness, I honestly thought she'd say no, and I'd move on to the next thing, so tick that one off, and sort of get through the inevitable rejection. Now, and of course, that obviously is not going to be the start of you know, the acceptance wasn't going to be, oh, well, now things are going to be great from now on. It was more, oh, that one was accepted, and that meant that I got that out of the... That was a tally on acceptance versus the sort of struggle that I was going to obviously suffer in the next... What is it? Well, it's 30 years, I suppose. Getting 25 years. So it was a bit of a... So it's a bit of a surprise. And now, when I asked her, this Russian, I suppose it was six-wheeled troop carrier, I suppose it must have been a troop carrier. It was more a sort of water cannon truck roared past, and I couldn't hear her. And I had assumed she said no. So she had to actually convince me that she had said yes, which I was rather sceptical of. So this is rather, an odd situation. So we walked around sort of in a little bit of a daze afterwards. Sort of, oh, gee, that's a bit crazy. What's the river in Moscow? The Moskva? Or the Neva? The Neva is in... it was still called Leningrad back then. That's right. In Leningrad, and so we walked around and saw there's a lot of Russians out on the street because it was so depressed, a lot of the streets were ripped up at that stage, sort of not paved, and so just behind the Kremlin, just the streets behind, a lot of the streets were ripped up and you couldn't walk on them, and it's just generally hard to get around Moscow. Fun on the undergrounds and all that type of crap. And I'll tell this roses story. Is that we're walking back from Gorky Park up to our hotel. Amazing distances now. And this person jumped out of the bushes and said, basically with this huge bunch of roses and said, would you like the roses? And then here they are, 20 kopeck. So 20 kopeck, it's probably not worth 5 cents. At which I, being in defensive mode, because people were just offering us caviar and sardines at breakfast. Because Fiona would say, oh, get out your money and count your money. Of course, your money out. And of course, all these Russian waiters were offering stuff. And so I said no. To which I was thinking, oh no, I think I should have said yes to that one overall. So since that time, ever since that time, I've sort of regretted, had this guilt feeling. And in general, I've spent probably $1,000 in red roses. And of course, I sort of know the prices go up around Valentine's Day. And yep, you get that at Valentine's Day. And just, you know, more and more, oh yeah, we're red roses now. But sort of, you may as well cover that one off to go along. Now, of course, the sort of issue was we're staying in Turris, which is the communist centralized tourism thing, and we booked our hotel, and our hotel was in this big Russian Stalinist building, and in multi-story, probably 30 stories tall, sort of very, you know, a front, lots of bureaucracies, like there was a sort of a front office desk at the front, a desk in every floor, and it didn't look all that bad until, I think it wasn't the Russian, that one was the, yeah, it was that, I think it was the Leningrad one, St. Petersburg. It was a grotty, hard to say, but then you looked up and someone was steam cleaning a piece of their carpet, and it was just, oh my godfather, I've never seen like an advertisement for steam cleaning so much going across. So there's this large hotel, and the thing is that I went out Compass, and it's got a bearing on that hotel. It's the one, the Stalinist building with the little hammer and sickle up at the top, the little star, I think it was a star at the top, was sort of like a sort of a Stalinist Gothic. And of course, one of the things is that Moscow is surrounded by 6 of these identical hotels. So if you take a bearing of it, it is for sure that you will get, that's the sort of definition of how to get lost. Now, I suppose the other aspect of it, of there, was the fact that there's no traffic lights except a concrete pier where a traffic officer would get up the top of it. And of course, at that stage, there was no funding for people to go there. So, and then at night, people didn't drive with their headlights on, and you're going to save money that way. You know, if there's street lights, you don't turn your headlights on to save stuff. And so that's the story of the flowers. Now I'm going to stop that this podcast and get one on to quantum mechanics as I get along. So I'll just stop that. I hope the police don't pick me up. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.